Shane Bieber Cy Young, a legitimate Cy Young, yes or no, 216-474-0090. Terrible. You people are terrible. It is a legitimate Cy Young. It just doesn't, it's not as much as the other Cy Youngs, which now I know he's in the area and he might be driving around and I don't want to say anything more. Shane, you are a well-loved man here in the area.
How do you know he's in the area?
I have sources that have said that he may still be in the region. And so I don't want him to get in his car. Let's hear some sports talk radio and hear what my legacy is about. It is a legitimate Cy Young. It's like, buddy, you got the award. I don't. Nobody else does, okay? Congratulations.
He got that truck, too, didn't he?
Yes. Does he still have the truck?
And that crystal baseball bat.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, you got to be careful moving that thing. You're going to need Keith Hernandez and Jerry Seinfeld to help you move that one. Come on, Shane. Laugh. It's funny. Hey, we're downtown if you want to come down here and give an exit interview. I will clear the schedule.
Yeah, he's got to be on the way.
I'll kick Daryl's ass right out of here at 821.
You have to drive right past the studio to get to Toronto.
Yeah, you do. You can't, it's right along I-90, bud. Okay? Unless you're taking Windsor, and then that's just not good planning.
You could take a boat, go through the locks, and make its way up.
I wasn't
up to Kelly's Island, and then flip a right.
I wasn't upset about Shane Bieber being traded, just for the simple fact is I didn't think that they were going to be able to hold on to him. I think that what Lima said about it was right. It feels like found money, but I think we're in this fight, and we've been this way for the last several years, and certainly this year, where there are, I think, people who are accused of not being hardcore Indians fans or not knowing baseball and not knowing what this team's about, and people who are saying that those people have their head in the sand about the Guardians and just will eat up anything the Guardians give. I think that this year, especially, when I say the season isn't over, they go, wait a minute, haven't you just been yelling at the Dolans over the last couple of months over what's going on? Yeah, but the season's not over. I still don't excuse the non-action during the offseason. Just because you're telling me there's a lockout in 2027 doesn't give you an excuse.
That's not going to work really well with fans.
I don't give a bleep about your planet, and neither does Matt Derry, it seems.
I'm frustrated. I'm breathing a sigh of relief like you guys. Season is not over. You're right. Guardians only three out of the wild card. They're right there. But did they add any pieces? Did they go get another bat? It doesn't make any sense. I don't think they're trying. I don't think they're going to try next year either. The Dolans and a bevy of owners, I would probably say a good 70% of the baseball owners are ready to shut this thing down in 2027, and a countdown is on. And unfortunately, we're grouped in that mix.
Ooh, that's Matt Derry. Hear more of him, 92.3thefan.com and the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. And to that, what is every fan going to say? We'll sell the team.
Yes!
Which Minnesota
is selling the team.
Holy cow. Holy cow, did they just gut everything. They're gutting payroll for next year.
They said, we can't afford it. We're selling the team.
All in anticipation of this. We already saw, by the way, the White Sox, you know, they divested and the ESPNs came in. You saw it with Baltimore. Like, there are a bunch of people getting out. Boy, when this happens in the NBA, people sound alarms. Like, why is Mark Cuban selling? What's wrong with the NBA? Why are the Celtics and Lakers selling? It's like, have you seen baseball? The Rays just sold for 1.7. Like, people are worried about the lack of local money.
But you
like,
see this?
They are really worried because baseball has been able to stay propped up as, call it a regional sport or whatever, but it was that people watched their team, so they profited off of that. Well, that is gone with the extinction of the cable model.
I think you may be onto something there with what you said about David Blitzer, I almost called him Wolf, David Blitzer and Paul Dolan yesterday, where they might not be too thrilled about where each other are on the price. Because when things are, like, you always hear in a recession, what do business people do in a recession? They buy things. When things aren't good, because they buy it at a lower price. The Twins are looking to get out. Who can afford these teams anymore? Look, by the way, look at ownerships now. It used to be, hey, it's the Johnson family, and they own this. I know there's Woody Johnson actually does own the Jets, so I should use it. It's the Lottemans. Oh, the Lottemans, yeah. They owned a chain of department stores, and now they became the owner of the Cleveland Indians, now the Cleveland Guardians. It isn't like that as much as it used to be. You're seeing ownership groups now. The Haslam Sports Group owning multiple sports franchises. You're seeing Josh Harris and David Blitzer, and you're hearing about Ishbia getting involved in more teams. Dan Gilbert owning multiple teams eventually here. Like, you're seeing more sports groups that are owning it. So now you'll get the bottleneck going on. Well, if they're coming in, it almost turns into the corporate raiders who are coming in to buy these properties, and they're going to run these properties as a business. So there is a tug and pull with all this, and it's always been the weird, complicated history of Paul Dolan. There's a lot about Paul Dolan that you can like. There's one huge thing about Paul Dolan that nobody really likes, and it's that, no, he's just never going to go all in. He's never going to go into the red. All in to him is 2017, and that was still not satisfying enough for a lot of the fan base. And he's not going to do it consistently over that period of time. And he's had John Sherman to help him out at that time. Mm-hmm. Now he's supposed to have David Blitzer at this time. But what's David Blitzer going to put into when we're about to have a labor lockout coming up here in a couple of years? And we don't know the television deal that's going to be pounded out here.
By the way, even that year, 2017, they were 13th in payroll. It was $132 million. And that year you had the Dodgers at $259, Boston at $209.
Well, at least the Dodgers didn't win the World Series that year.
I know.
Got that going for us.
It's just you never, if that's the closest thing you're going to get to it, I don't think you're just never going to see this team go out of their way as constituted. They are like a third of the league. There's 10 teams in this league. There's 10 owners under the current setup who are not going to spend.
I think there's even more than that. I think you're being pretty generous with that. I think there's just a handful of teams that are willing to go way over and beyond, and they are in major markets. But that said, they don't move Stephen Kwan yesterday. I know there were several people saying that it was a white flag. I don't think trading away Paul Sewald is a white flag. I don't think that trading away Shane Bieber is a white flag. Stephen Kwan still being in this lineup helps save the season for me.
Well, at least to keep you interested.
Yeah,
right?
Well, it's not just like if you can get to the postseason, it really saves the season for me to get mad all over again. Because if they do get to the postseason, I guarantee you I will be sitting here after they get bounced in the postseason going, what did they do last offseason? And last offseason has a direct correlation into this coming postseason. Nobody thought they were going to be able to turn it around after a while. They had a 10-game losing streak. They're able to turn the damn thing around, and then you didn't do what was necessary to give them help, and so we just made another postseason appearance, which they don't fall off of trees, but they just got you to care enough to make you angry.
Yeah, you just got me thinking. If they did make that run that Owen predicted they would make, you know, right around the All-Star break, given their schedule, I mean, look, you got a series coming up against the Twins. Who's even on the Twins,
they
right?
They traded 9 of their 26-man roster.
You have another chance to win a series. If they win this series, they will have won, what, 5 of the last 6?
Yeah.
6 of the last 7? Okay, so if they do make that run, Kenny, are you saying this town is not going to get swept? This time, they're not going to get swept up because
no,
they're so
no,
upset.
No, yeah, I do believe that. I don't believe they're going to get swept up. They got swept up in it last year. I think it was a lot of fun. You'll have a sellout in the postseason if you host home playoff games in the postseason.
I would hope so.
You will have a sellout, but it won't be like it was before because I don't think people will give it the chance. I think they'll look at this, and it's going to be frustrating for Owen, and I think it's going to be frustrating for a lot of people who are Guardians first fans because, hey, if you get into the postseason, we'll see how the dice roll. But I think for a lot of fans, they'll treat it like college football. Yeah, Indiana made the postseason, but do they really have a chance? Like, wins just count as wins. So the Twins, it's just a win if they win tonight. But it doesn't matter because, hey, you know, they traded away 11 guys out of their 26-man roster. And you know what? You won some games against Baltimore, but obviously they've hit the bleeps. And you look at what the rest of the schedule looks like and a couple of these other teams. And, hey, you know, you're not really seeing. Like, there's a difference here with a lot of fans.
I'll be interested to see what tonight, Friday night game that has been very well attended. The weekends have been very well attended this summer. I'll be interested to see what it feels like in there. I think we're going tonight. It has been, you know, weeknight games, they say 22. It doesn't always feel like that. 22, 24, somewhere around there. It feels like it's 15, maybe. Weekends have felt very crowded, and I wonder if the way that the week played out from Class A to all this other stuff is going to affect the feeling inside the ballpark tonight.
I bet, will people go just to see Stephen Kwan again?
Yeah, I wonder if it's a thank God he's still here type of, welcome home, even though you never left.
I'd be willing to, if they trade away Stephen Kline, there'd definitely be a lot of people going, bleep this, I ain't going.
There would be one family I know for sure would not have attended tonight.
And there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people in that family. So,
yeah,
you think about that.
You know how many hot dogs we buy during Dollar Tree?
There are eight people in that family over in Avon Lake that goes to those games. That's a lot of folks you're losing on a dollar dog night, folks. Take that into consideration when you were thinking about trading away Stephen Kline. But I think there are going to be a lot of people going, okay, they kept Stephen Kline, got the Twins in town. The Twins traded how many people? We got a win coming up. I think they'll do that better for the now. But as we go through the season, and then when you get to the postseason, yeah, there will be some excitement. I don't think it'll be Guardians fever. There'll be typical postseason excitement. Now, if they get to the ALCS, I think things would change. But if they're just a wild card team, I think people are going to go, wait a minute here. And if they lose in the wild card, if they lose in the LDS, I may look at it and go, boy, you guys really overachieved, but you're still mad at ownership for not doing what was necessary to help you get over the hump. You know, you're an ALCS team. That sets a standard. And if you weren't able to do that, if you weren't willing to do that, that's the thing. Not able, but willing. If you weren't willing to do that, that's not going to sit right with your fan base because they don't care about you getting ready for 2027. No one prepares for the future like the Cleveland Guardians. They've been doing it for 78 years. We've gone from competition to controversy, and presented by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, the great Daryl Ryder to talk about it. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, boys.
Daryl, I had what the New York Post called a fiery rant yesterday, Daryl.
I saw. Congratulations to you on all of your success.
What was that? No, you just did.
It was this.
So that's how you tell Owen to hit those things. You go into the mic.
Now we got some sizzling bacon. That's a hot take. Still going on.
I am a bad boy. Coming in hot, 9:44.
Apparently I'm the bad boy.
Had a fiery rant yesterday, Daryl.
Check my ass out.
And I...
1.3 million.
I decided to... Let's get it all out there.
We just call right them now. All out now.
I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. I don't have...
Well, guess who just walked in? It's Fatlock. I'm out of hot keys.
Let's power rank the hot keys.
Yeah, right, Daryl, power rank the hot keys. Go.
Daryl.
I think Fatlock has to be one.
Oh, it's just because you heard it last, you liar.
No.
You should have been here the week you weren't here because Daryl was like, can I do a Fatlock? I want to do a Fatlock. Give me a
Fatlock. Daryl, you're not fat. You can't do Fatlock.
I know, but Fatlock is my favorite. I'm gonna go the fire extinguisher number two.
Hey, thank you.
And the Sizzler number three.
There we go. So the three most recent ones
here? Yeah, you just went with recency bias there. Your top three Guardians. Well, I think Kyle Manzardo is... All right, Daryl.
He's got to get in the lineup to be a top three
guardian. Yes, sir.
So there you go. Now who's giving fiery rants over here? This is good stuff. So yesterday I had a fiery rant. And today I tried to level with the Shador fans who are not Browns fans first. They're Shador fans first.
Good luck with that.
Well, okay. I didn't say it, guys, okay? That was Daryl, not me. So I said, can I ask a simple question? And I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. What team other than the Browns can offer him more reps right now? Maybe the Saints?
I was going to say probably New Orleans because they're like by far the worst team in the NFL.
But they got Tyler Shook there, and I don't think that they're going to be offering anything other than Tyler Shook and then Spencer Rattler after him. Maybe Shador, okay? But you got four quarterbacks there, and I'm thinking this is as open as it gets to be the backup quarterback. Probably not the starter, but the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
He can make a lot of ground here over the next few weeks. I'm going, there's opportunity here. Maybe I'm wrong, Daryl. Maybe you think the Browns are doing Shador dirty. Go ahead.
No, here's the thing. I have been saying this for weeks, and very few want to listen. Shador Sanders is a fifth-round pick. You can't act like he's a first-rounder. If he's a first-rounder or a second-rounder, I will hear all the arguments in the world about the Browns shortchanging him, not giving him opportunities with the first team, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, he did, at least in my view. Now, he wasn't with the first team offense. It was the twos versus the ones. Two offense versus the one defense. I'm going to count that, or that series, I should say, Ken, as first team reps. You're going up against number one defense. That's a first team round.
Miles Garrett and you were on the field at the same time. Let it fly.
Absolutely. So but he's a fifth round pick. Fifth round picks typically don't get a lot of first team reps. Okay? And that's the lens that I think a lot of folks, including the Shador fans, and he's got a lot of them. He's a very popular kid. There's no question about that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the reality in the National Football League, and you're as a rookie and first training camp, you as a fifth round pick, especially when there's three guys, now it's two, but when there's three guys healthy in front of you, you're not getting first team reps. That's just the way this thing goes, whether you like it or not. Now, based on what I've seen at training camp with some things, do I think that he could potentially or should potentially get some of the reps that Dylan Gabriel's getting? Yeah, absolutely. But that's just my opinion. And look, the Browns, to their credit, they don't want to mess this kid up either. They want to. They do want to develop him, and they want to do it the right way. And the right way of doing that is not throwing the kid into the fire with a bunch of first team reps in his first training camp. So I get it. And listen, I raise my hand, guilty as charged. Throw myself on the sword. I've been calling for him to get some first team reps here, just because I'm not impressed with what I'm seeing a whole lot offensively in training camp. So, you know, my calling for him to get first team reps, guys, is more so because I'm dissatisfied with what I'm seeing offensively in these 11-on-11 sessions. And I'm curious. It's more curiosity for me than feeling that Shador has earned or is deserving of as a fifth round pick rookie.
Well, Daryl, you mentioned the fifth round pick, and that's exactly what he is in real time. Now, I don't believe he is as bad as a fifth round pick. I
agree with you, okay. And I think that a lot of external, and we've had this conversation, unfortunately, a lot of external factors played into why he fell to the fifth round. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. However, there were also some things that were of his and his camp's own doing that contributed to him falling out of the first and the second rounds. But do I think he's got fifth round talent? Absolutely not.
So the NFL, whether it's his fault or it's a vast conspiracy, the NFL didn't want to take him before the fifth round. And I'm thinking, well, if the Browns didn't take him in the fifth round, who was going to take? Would he have waited till the sixth? Would he have waited till the seventh? So what type of opportunities are afforded? I go, this job's as open for anybody as anybody can get. Like, he could go out against Carolina next week, and right. where stats actually do kind of count, not camp stats when people are put in different situations, but, you know, whatever
so
gets clicks.
We're not counting the 7-on-7s
Whatever we can do for SEO, that's fine. He could go out there against Carolina next week and go 9-for-9 and throw right. for two touchdowns, and then, hey, let's have the conversation. 216-474-0092. I do think he has, and there were a couple people who got mad over Dylan Gabriel because I said, hey, I think he's got a higher ceiling than Dylan Gabriel. But I think that the Browns are treating him fairly and are the best opportunity for him because I said, if there's a bunch of other teams that are not willing to give him even these reps, then the team that can give him the most reps other than the Browns right now is in Canada. So this is his best chance right now because no matter what I feel, the NFL clearly disagrees with me.
Well, there's 31 teams that weren't even willing to draft him.
Yeah. Yes.
So why would you think that there's 31 teams out there willing to give him
more reps?
Reps in,
better
in
reps.
Camp,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you are 100%. Something must be in the water because I'm agreeing with you way too much.
There we
point.
Go.
But, you know. The preseason is going to be very important for him. Carolina, Philadelphia, right? I mean, he's going to get opportunities in those games. And the Browns are going to get some stuff on tape to see how he reacts to pressure, see how he's reading defenses, see what his footwork and his mechanics look like when he gets under duress as well. Look at his playmaking ability and extending plays and things, which, by the way, we've seen a little bit of that in the time that he's been on the field during camp. So the next couple of weeks are going to be very important, not just for Shador Sanders, but these other quarterbacks. But he is going to get some tangible opportunity here in the next 3 weeks. There's no question about that.
All right, Daryl, you talked about some of the some of the things you've seen from him so far. And I know it's hard because it's camp. You're seeing people chart the actual statistics. We've had coaches roll their eyes at doing any of that because we don't know the situations. We don't know what the play calls are, what the
practices
defense
do get tilted.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So with that said, can you see the type of arm talent that had people thinking at one time he was a not just a first round pick, but a top of the first round pick?
Yeah. And look, he if it were me, okay, he would be third on my depth chart of the four quarterbacks. But that's just me. I think he's a better player than Dylan Gabriel is. But right now, that's you know, the Browns are going by their priorities. Dylan was taken in the third round, Shadur the fifth round, and so that's the way they're laying things out. But no, I you see the talent there, Anthony. There is something there. And as I said earlier, I think that the Browns are trying to be very careful with him. They recognize that they have made mistakes in the past with young quarterbacks drafted later, with having to rush them out there before they were ready to be rushed out there. And because I think of that raw talent that he does possess, they really do want to bring him along slowly and develop him. And because let's be honest about it, right? Let's say it doesn't work out here in Cleveland in a year, two or three, or whatever that timeline is. They're not going to blame Shadur. They're going to blame the Browns. Ah, well, that's just the Browns being the Browns, the usual dysfunctional nonsense. They couldn't develop a quarterback to save their life, et cetera, right? So they're trying to bring this guy along slowly. And while, yes, am I anxious to see him get those reps? 100%. Because I am curious. I want to see what this kid can do, but it's very hard for me to criticize the Browns for their approach with him as a fifth-round pick.
Is Deontay Johnson on the 53-man roster right now?
Today he is, absolutely, yeah. I mean, they really don't have anything else in that receiver room not named Jerry Jeudy or Cedric Tillman. So, yeah, he is. He'd be the third receiver, Ken.
Then do you advocate for a trade for Terry McLaurin as Denzel Ward did on Twitter yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow, yeah, you do.
Here's the rub with that, though. You got to have someone throwing the football, right? It's the same thing going back to Travis Hunter when I was shilling for them to take Travis Hunter 2 overall. And that was after I had said they should trade the pick and get another first rounder for next year. You got to have someone throwing the football before, you know, I go back to what Phil Savage told me years ago, right? And he made the mistake with the Braylon Edwards selection where he went for the dessert before he went for meat and potatoes. The Browns need the meat and potatoes before they can go for dessert. Right now, they don't have a lot of the meat and potatoes. So I would do it. I'd bring him in because, they don't have a lot of top-tier wide receiver talent outside Jerry Jeudy, and there's a tremendous amount of questions, even with Deontay Johnson, even with Cedric Tillman, in that receiver room. And I am of the belief, I said I think this with Baskin and Phelps yesterday, I think how they're going to be able to keep that fourth quarterback on the active roster, instead of keeping six receivers, they keep five.
Daryl, the defense, unfortunately, we've had the injuries already. However, it does look like a pair of those rookies have been flashing. I know it's very early, but are you more nervous about the defense because of the injury, or are you more optimistic because of the rookies?
I probably lean more optimistic.
Yeah, all right, Daryl.
Well, I mean, look, we knew about JOK, I believe it was in March when they announced, they just got it out of the way and said, hey, he's not going to be available this year, right? You know, Carson Schwechinger, they just rant and rave about him and just how great he is on and off the field. We got to visit with him the other day. But I kind of look at him, fairly or not, I look at him as the JOK replacement. Cross that one off. Mason Graham, at least from my standpoint, we've only had a couple of practices and pads, but he's looked fantastic.
Beast.
I mean, he's looked fantastic to me. So
he's an ass kicker. Let's go.
He very well could be next to Myles Garrett there. So
yeah, you give Barry some credit.
Yep. I'm about to have Owen play the music. You're getting me excited here. Speaking of bits. Fight song? Speaking of bits. No, not the Michigan fight song.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know how many times the Browns are going to win a football game this year, but this rookie class, they're flashing. They're, you know, I'm a big fan of Harold Fannin Jr. I like him a lot. There's a lot of folks that seem to be pretty optimistic about Dylan Sampson as well. I think this rookie class has a chance to provide some significant impact this coming season.
All right, Daryl, final one for me, because I'm thinking about SEO.
Gage Larvidane.
Oh, yes, yes. We have to ask you if he's showing up. Daryl, just...
He and Shador are BFFs right now, catching everything Shador throws.
Heck yeah.
That's
hell
sure.
Yeah.
Who will end up having a better NFL career quarterback?
Oh, geez.
Shador Sanders or Tim Tebow?
Shador Sanders.
Hell yeah, again.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Daryl. Thank you for your time and your candor. Oh, is the Shane Bieber Cy Young a legitimate Cy Young?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Just want to make sure.
Yep.
Daryl, thank you for the time.
You bet, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. Daryl Rutter. It's not fair, but it's the NFL. The Browns offer Shador Sanders the best opportunity to fully make what he's capable of. But the road is rocky ahead. So, will he have the opportunity? And this is something that I think that we haven't talked about that much on the air as a station, as an entity, whatever it might be, that he's got to play well. How well does he have to play for the Browns to give up on the two first-round picks for a quarterback and take guys to help him? And then if he's third on the depth chart the way that Daryl says, Daryl will put him third on the depth chart. I'll put him third on the depth chart. Third on the depth chart. I'll put him second on the depth chart because Kenny Pickett ain't available to me right now. And everybody knows that I don't think that there's very much of a future with Kenny Pickett. So you know what? Me, I'm putting Shador second on my depth chart. How you like that, buddy?
What would it take for the team to get off their stance on Pickett and even Dylan Gabriel? Like, you got Daryl Ryder saying Dylan Gabriel is the guy they're getting ready to play. They're not necessarily getting Shador ready to play because he's not playing with the ones against the ones.
Uh-huh.
It's still very early in the process, but what needs to happen? Is it a preseason game? Is it a joint practice?
I think it's preseason. I think it's all those things. I think it's the excitement if he were to actually have a good preseason. I think that people get excited over those things in the offices. Coaches get excited about that because then I think you start to see the ceiling. I think his ceiling is higher than Dylan Gabriel's. I think, and I got some nasty emails and tweets about that yesterday because I said that there are people who are big Dylan Gabriel supporters. I know that the Browns drafted him third. Was the league not shocked that he got drafted in the third round? I think that Shador does have a higher ceiling than him. Physically, I know that Dylan Gabriel knows a lot of football. God, he played for 6 years, so maybe Dylan Gabriel is going to be a real good coach someday. But physically, intangible-wise, all the other stuff, Dylan Gabriel does have a little bit of a stronger arm than what people make it out to be, but I think that Shador has the higher ceiling there. But how much does he get to play to prove that you're not going to take a quarterback next year? So that's frustrating because even if he does decently well, does he get the chance to really show that he can do great? And if he doesn't get the chance that he can show that he can do great, how can I advocate to keep Shador Sanders over Lenore Sellers, Drew Aller, Garrett Nussmeier? Down the line we go. It's hard to do. Very hard to do. So even if he's able to climb this mountain, then you have that. You know, my issue has just been, I think he provides the best opportunity of any, the Browns provide the best opportunity of any NFL team out there. It's not fair. It's true. It's not fair that he got drafted in the fifth round. I don't think he should have been drafted in the fifth round. I think he should have went much higher. But there's something that the NFL didn't like, and they were willing to pass on him over and over. And if the Browns didn't take him, he might have gone in the sixth or seventh round. I'm not sure. You can't say anything's for certain. And even then, it's like, okay, is that something we hang our hat on? He definitely would have went in the sixth and seventh round. Like, that's nothing to hang your hat on. This is as open as it gets. Not for the starter. This is an open opportunity as it gets to be a backup, to be a rookie that people get excited about. I don't know if anybody else offers him a better chance than the Cleveland Browns. I don't believe anybody else.
Now, isn't it crazy, though? Even without one of the guys, with Kenny Pickett sidelined, we don't know for how long. But you look and you see, and I've watched the video montages, or when you've been at practice, you've been trying to stay as dialed in as you can to evaluate. And on the one day he went 9-9, right? 9 throws. That's it. That's what we're practicing. 9 throws. It's just not going to be a lot of opportunity. And here you're saying he has more opportunity here than he has almost anywhere else. and you get nine chances to throw the football, and like six of them are going to be 5 yards or less.
I refuse to address
that. That's just not...
I refuse.
How do the coaches evaluate that?
I refuse to address it. I think it's lowest common denominator garbage. I hate it.
The stats.
Because, guys, for all we know, he could have went around. There's run plays that I'm sure he works on, and he could have turned the wrong direction or handed off, or people mess it up.
They might tell the defense what the play is.
He might have called the wrong play in the huddle.
They might, just to challenge the offense, they might be, hey, here's what's coming. Like, you don't know. You don't know any of that. All I'm saying is, how does a coach really give him the chance to move up a depth chart, or any of the guys move up a depth chart, when they only get to throw the football, physically have that ball launched at receivers nine times for a whole day?
So
that's one day that's gone. You cross it off the list and you move on to the next day.
Gets me the most angry about it. Gets me the most angry. Because if he goes in there and he's running the plays correctly and telling people where to go, that doesn't show up on some chart they put up on ESPN. That's what separates it. If he's got the grip of the offense, and he throws 0-for-9. It doesn't matter if he's throwing to the right spot. The wide receivers can't learn to run a route. There's a billion of them there. Maybe some don't know how to run a route, but if he's running it to the right spot and he's telling them the right routes to run, okay, that's going to be on the wide receivers. So are you going to overreact on 0-for-9 someday? Just if we're going to throw out camp stat garbage here. Because I can look at it and go, hey, 0-for-9, these wide receivers are all going to cut. They all don't know what they're running. I'll keep this kid and I'll bump him up because he knows how to run this offense. No, we don't see that. That's not an easy thing to put up on SportsCenter. But I got everybody and their brother. How can you deny 9-for-9? I'm not denying 9-for-9. I want to look deeper than 9-for-9. Chuck and Shaker, hello.
Hey, Ken, I'm with you.
Thank you.
Listen, if they're going to keep Shador, they wouldn't be putting this much. If they're bringing him along right, not trying to sabotage his career or anything like that, I think he's going to be around. He'll be throwing touchdowns in Brook Park. That's all I got to say. You know,
I like it. No, I like it. That solves the issue. Now he has time to get himself acclimated, but
right.
I fear he does not have the time, and I'm totally warranted in this fear. I fear he doesn't have the time that it takes to change their mind over what they may do in the first round next year.
Well, I'm just thinking that this preseason, these exhibition games, he'll shine just like he's doing it at 9-for-9 and throwing that ball like that, throwing those dimes. If he could do that in the preseason and change these guys' mind about the reps, I think he'll be around.
I can't wait.
Chuck, thank you for the call.
I can't believe how giddy I am about the preseason. Me.
We went from you choosing Grandma Corky's baked ziti to now being excited to watch preseason football. It only took Shador Sanders. Were you even this excited when Baker was here?
Yeah.
Were you this excited when Johnny was here?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so you've fluxed.
I was excited. Well, the Johnny thing was awesome because it was life or death every throw. I don't know if Shador is life or death every throw right now because he's not getting the starting job.
I think we're going to get to life or death every throw.
But you know what I mean? Like, in that one, there were factions of the fan base sitting there with, I think my buddy had a notebook and he was out going, okay, that's one for Hoyer. And then I swear to God, every completion that Hoyer had is like, oh, look, the corner's not even on him. Like they're not even defending that one. And then when it was Johnny's turn, it was like, they're trying to kill him.
Tim,
I mean, this
did
is
all
ridiculous.
Your buddy Tim did all this.
I had a bunch of buddies. This was cutthroat. And I don't know how this will be. Do you think this will ratchet up to that cutthroat nature of the factions between the fan base?
Yes, because you're not going to see Joe Flacco in the preseason games. And I think Daryl tell us well, before even the injury, how much was Kenny Pickett going to play in the preseason games? So it's going to come down to Dylan Gabriel, where there's just a flat out disrespect of Dylan Gabriel. Like, I'm not going to get into the name calling stuff that some of the other media members have gotten into. But there's a flat-out disrespect to Dylan Gabriel, but there's also plenty of people out there, myself included, who do not believe that Dylan Gabriel should have been drafted over Shador Sanders. So, yeah, there's going to be an argument. Mike and Stowe, you're next up on the fan. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Glad to have you, Mike. We're doing well.
Oh, so, I think it's a lot. It's just Cleveland getting too excited again, as always. You know, I know we're impatient because we've just been waiting so long, but this has to play out. They're all going to get their chances. I mean, we know the veterans aren't our future. They're just around to keep things, their insurance policies, in case, you know, let's say when the season does go awry, which is going to, that if we really need somebody to go out there and, you know, the rookies can't even hold it together, which is possible, that they're there for that.
Well, do you believe that the Browns are being fair, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. Because how can they look? I listened to an afternoon show on the same station. There was a guy the other day, sounded like he was ready to pick out China patterns and silver set for a wedding because he's so worked up about, you know, the fact that, you know, Shador's only throwing the ball boys, yada, yada, yada.
Peterlin.
He's got
we're talking about Jonathan Peterlin.
Yeah.
Jonathan Peterlin.
Oh, yeah, that's Jonathan.
Yeah, 2-7, yeah. Peterlin.
2-7.
Yeah.
On the fan.
And then jumped over Jake because later
I think it was Peterlin.
Later that night.
Jake, yeah, was it Jonathan? Yeah.
Yeah, it was Jonathan. Yeah. I was just trying to name names.
Names.
Name names all you want, Mike.
Oh,
name
the guy them on names. Afternoon drive that's
he's saying about
Peterlin. He's talking about Peterlin.
I'll cuss out Peterlin at the drop of a hat. I don't care.
Yeah, he's been ridiculous about it because he doesn't even.
Who, Jonathan?
Jonathan's?
You got the right guy?
I do believe that. He's been going on like three times. I said, listen, he's like three different ways of the same thing. Tell like how Shador's not getting enough of a fair shake. And how
I heard Peterlin say that. I did hear him say that.
He did say that.
He's saying they're going to mess him up by what they're doing. What? How are you going to mess him up?
You got to ask Peterlin about that. 2-7.
I don't. A team that's as desperate as the Browns are, Mike, thank you for the call. Say the same thing I did yesterday. I'll just say it at a lower tone. A team that's as desperate as the Browns, why would they draft a guy who has as much star power? Because you have to understand, like, when Jimmy has them, and people are going after Jimmy for saying, like, it wasn't my draft pick, this, that, and the other. He's still a businessman. There's not a owner in the NFL that's more desperate for a starting quarterback than Jimmy Haslam. He knows Shador led the league and sold jerseys as a rookie, as a fifth round rookie, as a day three rookie, led the league in jersey sales. Beat Travis Hunter. Okay? He's a businessman. You think he doesn't want that guy to get a fair shot?
Well, I'm on
the money that can be made with Shador Sanders?
I'm on the show page. Afternoon drive on the fan 2-7.
Now, is that
Nick
the guy
Wilson.
With the beard?
No,
the and
other
the orange?
One, Peterlin.
It's Peterlin. Is that Mac? One of his names Mac.
He's on the show.
Oh, okay. What's the name of the show?
Afternoon drive on the fan.
Do they know? Never mind.